Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. France Press Edition here.
Right here.
We're live with Tony Hawk.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Brown-haired Tony Hawk.
Have you played me?
No, yeah.
Have you played me lately?
A.K.A. Bucky Lassick.
I played you recently.
So what was Bucky's rating there on Tony Hawk?
Where'd that voice come
Pro
from?
Pro skateboarder.
Over there.
Oh, over there. It's our producer.
That's me.
Yeah.
They recently re-released 1 and 2 for
PS5. Did they really? Yeah, what was his rating on there? What was Bucky's rating on there?
Is there a rating?
Oh, yeah, dude.
I mean, you get stats for your ability to ollie.
Is that a 4.4?
What did he get?
6.9.
We're gonna bring.
I'll take it.
I don't know what the scale is though. What's the rating?
What do you think you're worth? What do you think you're worth?
I think I was pretty well rounded.
You think so?
I think that's why. Yeah.
Okay.
I did pretty good.
If you got a lot more points earlier in the game for big air grab tricks, and you had more big air grab stats than everybody else.
Yeah.
Looking back at it.
Yeah.
Would you say that you had the most big air grab stats?
I don't know. I didn't really play the game that much. I just worked on my character. Is that okay to say?
I think that's all right.
It's fine. You were actually out there doing it. What do we got for the stats, Giorgio? We got to know these numbers, brother.
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, but look at that photo of him right there.
That's nice.
That's burlesque.
That's nice.
Look at that. Yeah, you need to bring that mullet back. You look like Randy Johnson.
Yeah, look at you.
We had an 8 out of 10 for big air and hang time.
Okay.
So that was super good on that. Then we also had your spin. Your spin was super high. Another 8 out of 10.
Look at that.
That's funny because I'm not a spinner. I'm not a big spinner. I'm a flipper.
They did you dirty on the manual balance. They give you a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, that's
the manual on a fucking vert ramp, Giorgio.
You know, but he said he was a rounded skater. You know, if you're trying to hit that, the school.
Oh, there
level,
it is. There it is.
Look at those stats. 5 out of 10. How do you feel about that, Bucky? That's pretty poor.
I feel like you know what? They don't give me any love on the street side. I don't know.
Did they ever catch you in the streets?
Yeah, I'm gonna go train with Cody.
Yeah, we're gonna get in Cody McIntyre.
Okay,
and the three of us are going real street skating training.
Is this gonna be for the video?
Yeah.
All right, let's do a live shot for shot remake of Gleaming the Cube.
I'm down with that. Are you down with
it? It's a great movie.
I don't know if I know the whole thing. Like, I don't know if
no,
I know
we can watch it.
Okay. Yeah, we can watch it together.
We don't have to do it for
back into it.
By the way, you guys are coming really aggressive at a man who
I'll drive the truck.
Showed up late and a little hungover.
Too bad, dude. We're all hungover today.
Him?
We're all drinking and hungover today.
Yeah. It's France Press. This is part of the show.
Yeah, dude. Bucky came in hurling N-words out there, and I was like, whoa, dude. Whoa. We have an over-under of 24 on this show, and I was like, get it all out now. And then you can say the other 24.
That word is no skateboarding because you have those signs right out the front there.
Sure.
We can play it back. We can play it back.
He's not allowed to say that.
We can. And then
wait, do we have no skateboarding signs out here?
Yeah, there's like 4 of them. That's why I don't bring my board anymore. What?
That's a lie.
What are we?
That's a lie. This was a Pentecostal church before we bought it.
Yeah, it's got rough cement though. You know, it's not ideal for some 101A wheels.
They did that on purpose, Jared. They didn't want to skate in here.
Our property is like the fucking little town from Footloose, except for no dancing here is no skateboard.
Yeah, we can't skateboard. But then we're gonna have a fight, settle it. A preacher's gonna come.
Well, Kevin Bacon's gonna show up.
Yeah, we're all gonna skateboard at the dance.
That's always a game changer.
It is.
Kevin Bacon shows up.
Jared, you did bring a brown friend.
That's Kevin.
Okay, cool.
Oh, Kevin. Look at that. Cool.
From State Farm.
He gave the peace signs. Wait, what? Yes. Put a camera pieces.
Back there. Yeah, so
double pieces. There he is. Walk up.
Walk
get him
over,
the camera.
Kevin.
There he
We're
is.
We're obligated once a month on YouTube to show at least one brown guy to prove
that. Give Giorgio your slogan. Give him your slogan.
Yeah. Come on in. Grab the mic.
There you go. Give it to Ross.
There you go. What's your slogan?
Ross, we say no soft snakes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So something's weak.
Something is weak.
Soft snake, is that like a reference to a soft penis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No soft snakes. Snake farm, you know?
So Snake Farm is out. Bucky, are you a part of Snake Farm? Are you riding for the Snake Farm team?
I'm going to be a designated
feature.
Supporter.
Lateral.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's legacy
guest,
pal, you know?
Yeah.
He can't leave.
He's like a professor emeritus at this point.
You first started with Powell in what, 87?
Earlier, I think. Yeah, early 6.
86?
Yeah. Early 6. Yeah, see?
You don't look old enough to be dropping shit from like
50th birthday. Dude,
holy shit, really?
Yeah. And he went skating.
50. No way, dude.
With Bam.
Wow.
Let me just break it down to you. What has happened in the past 4 weeks?
Okay.
I got COVID.
Great.
Right?
That was yesterday.
Got better.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Got better. Yeah. Few days better. Had a 50th birthday party with like Christian Asoy, Mike McGill, all the guys showed up. Day after that, I got food poisoning. A few days after that, I went and carted. Did a 12-hour endurance kart race. Got ran off the road, hit tires, and then got smacked by another dude doing 35. So
in the ribs.
Jesus Christ. Ribs.
And then I'm here trying to drive rally cars, and I had to step out. I couldn't do it. Like, I'm
no
done.
Shit.
Dude, I can't do it. Like,
oh, so you're not racing tomorrow?
I can't.
That means I have a chance to fucking win.
Well, do you, Jared?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because Micah Diaz is a fucking driving baby-ass bitch.
What's the hype on Jared in the race? Is he legit?
Proper. He is proper, legitimately slower than everyone else.
Yeah. And that's what I thought. We see a lot of cool pictures on Instagram, but it seems more like a model who's probably been shipped over to Saudi Arabia for a prince, where it's like, you look like you're having fun out there, but there's nobody in the picture.
It's all green screen.
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see tomorrow when we take it to the track, Micah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make you make that phone call.
Micah's doing recce right now. What are you doing?
I'm on the show. I have obligations.
He's got obligations. And he's so good, he doesn't really need to be there.
So, what happens tomorrow when I start mopping the floor with Micah? And it was like, oh, how was that recce?
Yeah. With those eyes, I mean, look how fast he is.
Happy 50th, Bucky.
Thank you.
I haven't gotten to say that to you. What a crazy life you've lived.
It's been miserable so far.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, man. It has. You look great, though.
Thank you.
Fuck, for 50? I hope I look that great at 50.
But honestly,
Did you just zoom in on me?
We all just...
No.
All right, good.
We need to acknowledge the fact that, yes, your time frame in your life, you were a superstar in the heyday of MTV.
Yep.
Dude, I had a pager.
You had a pager?
Shut up. How many times did you get the 911 text?
Not that many. I got boobs and boobless and all.
Oh, yeah, dude. Shit.
What about, I guess you couldn't use equal signs back then, so it was hard to make a dick.
It was. Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
You couldn't make a dick.
Yeah.
No, times have changed.
Yeah.
For the better, mostly. I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. When you were doing it, it was magazines. And if you made it, dude, in a magazine,
that was
you
it.
Were the most famous person on earth. So it wasn't like these talentless slap whores that are out there just putting shit up. And you're like, all right, sweet, how many followers do you have? 1.6 million. And you don't know any of these fucking people.
Yeah, all I'm saying is I made it from Baltimore, Maryland. And I became like a skateboarder hanging out with Tony Hawk and Stacy Peralta.
Fucking rad.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah, you got signed on Peralta in 1986.
But you had to you had to have talent back then. And then that talent had to beat everybody else's to get on these magazines and do all the shit. Today, it's not like that. Somebody can brand you and turn you into a superstar.
What I learned yesterday, there is a realm of YouTube of people that are incredibly popular that just eat things on a microphone.
Yes.
That hurt my soul last night.
Yep.
Like, I stared at this when they told me about it, and I was like, everything I've written and directed and created is like
worthless.
Gone.
Because somebody's eating a hot
2 million
pepper.
People watched a dude eat hot soup in a microphone.
My kids watch it over and over and over.
What's it called? Do you know what it's called?
It's like a guy. It's like
SM something?
No, no. Well, no, they call it Glut something or something. I forget.
Oh, mukbang?
Mukbang.
Yeah, that's it.
That's where you eat just like a bunch of disgusting things all at once together.
Yeah.
But isn't skating still a safe realm? Like, you can't get big into skating unless you have the goods. Like, people aren't going to
allow that. No, now they're transitioning and shit.
Yep.
You could be a personality guy.
What do you mean transitioning? You mean like...
There's a bunch of dudes competing in girls sports.
Yeah, they're cutting their dicks off, dude.
No, you just tuck it back.
Dude, Tony Mag wanted me to join the Olympics as Becky Lassick. Like, he's dead serious about it. I was like, dude, there's no way I could do it. Like,
nah, that's a little...
Do you know the new head of the Olympic team?
Yeah.
Schiff?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to meet him.
Yeah, he's right.
Because he created Element. And I've followed Element since the day it came out. And
he's a good dude.
I looked yesterday because you posted a picture with him.
Yeah.
And I wrote him this long message on Instagram in 2017 that was like, hey, we're getting pretty big now, a lifestyle brand. I've literally followed everything Element does. I really appreciate it. I hope someday to meet you. I'm like, fuck.
But back when you did it, by the way, and became huge and all that shit.
I'm still doing it, motherfucker.
No. Yeah. No.
He's still skating.
Not that.
He got fourth in X Games this year.
It's not that. I want to start from the beginning.
I think it was a fifth.
I really want to start for the beginning. But because when you got big back in the day, not only was it based on solely talent and then magazines and all that other stuff, but there was no social media, camera, phones, anything else.
No.
On the flip side of that, after these tournaments and all that shit was over, I'm assuming you guys partied harder because you didn't have to worry about somebody fucking jamming a phone in your face.
Yeah, I've never really done drugs. I've always been with the beer. I've been a big beer guy. But with that said, I like, if you ever hang out and you want to be my friend, bring me some gluten-free beer.
There you go. Boom, we got some for you here today, so you're good to go.
So you guys are my friends.
Yeah, we're your friends. We're your friends.
So wait, didn't you get a phone call while you were on a ramp in Baltimore? This was the first time. It was
This was how it happened for me was I was at a Pal Peralta demo at the mall. Tony Hawk, Tommy Guerrero, who else was there? Jim Thiebaud, I think.
Lance.
Martinez. Jesse Martinez. I don't think Lance was there. There's all those guys were doing a demo, jump ramps and all that stuff. And then I heard that they were going to come skate the local vert ramp. So I showed up late at night. We had lights up. We were all skating. They never showed up. So I was like, oh, damn. So the next day they actually came and skated. I was there every day. So I didn't know they were going to come. They finally showed up and skated. And they were blown away by some little skinny, scrawny kid that just was wearing a flyaway helmet with big old pads. And
how old are you?
I was sketchy as shit. I was sketchy as shit back then.
How old were you at that point?
14.
Yeah, I was probably about 14.
And how old were those guys?
They had to be pushing 21.
So are you boozing with them at that point? Like, you guys out hanging afterwards? Like, how is that? Because I always wondered that about Peralta and those guys too. Where it was
I don't think Peralta was into that scene, but I definitely know those guys partied. Some more than others, but at that point, it was all about skating for me.
Yeah, were you taking it seriously as a profession versus some of the other guys who were there for the party, maybe get some chicks, some money, and then kind of move on?
Yeah, it was definitely those guys got chicks all the time. The stories of I don't want to mess them up, but it was Cab, Hosoi, and Tony, they got chicks.
Skaters were cool then.
They were cool because you were watching the videos. The videos were everywhere.
And everybody magazines.
Those VCR tapes, dude, were just passed on over and over and over to the point where the tape would come out of the back, and then you had to rewind it hand.
I think Christian was more into the party scene. Tony and Cab and all those guys, they were more into the chick scene. Mm. You know what I mean? Kind of went hand in hand, but not so much.
It didn't hurt that it was the grunge period, too. And
the culture shift.
The natural garb of skaters kind of just fit with that.
Dude, Christian was rolling around in spandex and extensions and shit, though. You know what I mean? It was different. 80s skateboarding, they had flops. You know, they had blonde flops. Kevin Staub, he got some chicks.
Hair metal, yeah.
Yeah, but then you got into the 90s and the East Coast kids took over with the gigantic jeans.
Yeah, big jeans, small jeans. Wheels, little teeny wheels.
Yeah, tiniest wheels that you could possibly get.
Yep.
And then what year does X Games start? Because that ends up becoming massive.
It's 98-ish. No. Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere
98-ish. I think I missed the first two, and then 99 and 2000 I finally got to go because I had a bad sponsor. It wouldn't send me anywhere. Stuck on the East Coast, working on a body shop. And then I finally got a good sponsor, got sent somewhere, and started competing again. And that was 99, I think. I won my first X Games in 99.
99 and 2000, and then you won 2000. Gold.
And where was that? Was that on MTV or was that on ESPN at that point?
ESPN. That's when ESPN was blowing it up. That's when Vert was coming back. Yeah. And it's going to be there
again.
When it
went to San Francisco, that's when like it became a thing.
Tony did his nine.
Yeah, at the 2000, yeah.
That's where it was like video game time.
Yeah, dude. I mean, holy shit. And you were there, right?
Yeah, I was there.
What was it like in person? Because we all watched it. We all know where we were, too, when we saw it.
I was with Tony when he was trying the nine in Mexico for the end, for video. And he couldn't make it. I actually got the last part of the video because I blew him up.
I just watched it two days ago with my dad.
So I blew him up, and I got the last part of the video, which was mind-boggling to me because to get the end of a video is gnarly.
Yeah,
you're the last guy on the video, and there was Heath Cashard, there was Jeremy Klein. They had an insane part with pyro, everything. Yeah. And here I am, like blowing up Tony Hawk at the end, like in some Caddyshack figures, you know, making like clay figures and planting them. And he's trying the nine, and he doesn't make it. So it's like me and Mouseberg came up with this idea of like, well, let's just fucking blow him up, you know, so he can't make it. Like, he didn't make it, so we're just going to blow him up. So we blew up the whole bull arena, and then, like, it's me just, like, doing a donut and a Viper. And that was, by the way, it was supposed to be a Ferrari. We couldn't get one.
But, by the way, that's the biggest skate video in history.
I think it's one of the biggest.
Yeah. 100%. My dad came home with it the day it came out, fucking wrapped in the plastic, VHS, white box.
Yep.
It's wicked, dude. It's such a sick one.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, we watched it two nights ago.
Dude,
like,
Steve Barra's part, head cut off, like, that's gnarly shit. Like, it's a rad video.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. And then when you go to the, was it X Games that he did the 900
at? Yeah. So then you go there.
So we go back to that.
You go there, but he tries it like 80 fucking times.
So here's the thing with that. I think Tony made the 900 because he didn't win the contest. I won the contest. So he was like, I'm fucking making the nine.
He had to take the show.
Did you ever ask him?
I don't need to. So the whole, like, he should be writing me that video game check. He should write me that check. Because if it wasn't for me winning.
At least pump your fucking rating numbers up a little bit.
Yeah.
Tony, what are you doing?
Switch that 5 out of 10, dude.
Jesus Christ. Tony.
Give me some manual points.
But when he landed it, were you happy, sad? Like, how does that work for you? Because you're a competitor.
Yeah, but it's...
And you just won, and no offense, but...
But it was skateboard history.
That's the only thing I remember about the night.
Yeah.
Like,
Did you see the video? I took out about 10 people sliding down the ramp, and it was just me hugging Tony. Like, everyone was hugging him, but... And in reality, I gave him the mojo, too, before he dropped in. You saw it, right? You saw the aura. Like, I was passing that energy, you know? I was like, make the nine.
I need
the money from the video game. I need the money.
I remember watching it on ESPN, and I thought they were going to either cut out of it, because it looked like he was so exhausted towards the end. And I was like, well... If you didn't get it in the first like 10 tries,
no, it was after time.
Yeah,
it was after time.
And ESPN kept it. Like, Colin McKay
should have actually won Best Trick.
Oh, because it was after time.
Because it was after time.
Yeah.
So shout out to Colin McKay, ruler.
That's awesome. And then how long until the video game and all that stuff?
I think it was the next day.
No shit.
No.
Yeah.
That would have been
crazy. I think it was 2001. He had it all set up.
Yeah. But how did that change your life? Because even...
Became a household name.
I was going to say, even today, everybody was like, oh, shit, dude, I fucking played you.
After everything I've done in my life, this is the bummer. This is like the down. This is like, I'm sorry. I feel so sorry for you, Bucky. After everything I've done in my life, people still come up to me. They don't, you know, you won this. You're still fucking skating at 50. I get... Dude, you're my favorite character. I'm Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah.
But why not own it?
Yeah, why not own it?
No, I know you got to own it at that point. But in reality, there was a time when I got dropped from the game.
Yeah.
After like the fourth one, they were like, hey, you know, we're getting paid royalties. We're getting paid really good. And we were supporting the game. We were big supporters of the game. And then they came to us like, well, we're not going to pay you royalty anymore. We're going to give you, you know, so-and-so amount. And I was like, fuck you guys. And I was like, I'm out. And then all these other guys were like, oh, I'll do it for that. And it's like, so I got bitter a little bit. And at that point, it was like, hey, you're my favorite skater in the game. Like,
yeah,
I was like, fuck that game, you know?
But you know why they asked you to take a salary versus royalties, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was crushing it.
Yeah, we were crushing it. We were killing it.
Think of this, though. How many people get introduced to, like, Rune Glyphberg, and they go, were you in Tony Hawk?
Yeah, he was actually one of the guys that took it. He took the money, and I was like, dude, what are you doing taking that money?
You're my favorite player. Yeah. I think I've heard of you.
But if they would all turn the money down,
yeah, everybody would have gotten.
We would have got the original money, you know? Yeah. But
was there a conversation at all with Tony privately where you were like, hey, dude, everybody's making a lot of money here. Here's what's happening. Can you do anything?
It was all happy sailing for everyone. You know, I was just bitter that it just ended, that I could have accepted whatever they were offering. I was like, it's at this point, it's like, I see what's going on. So I'm like,
yeah.
So I was out.
Are they in the new games? Are you coming back to those?
He's in the.
I'm in the. I'm in the new ones. Okay. Yeah, yeah. They brought me back in. I was like, definitely not the same royalties, but it was like at that point, I was like, I dig you guys coming to me. You know, yeah, I appreciate you coming to me, and it was rad.
That's awesome.
It's the ebb and flow of business, man.
Yeah,
it's how this shit goes. Like we all know it. We've all been there.
Well, it's all. But that's still Hollywood. Like that's still Hollywood agents and everybody trying to take.
But I get what he's saying when someone brings something up that you're like, yeah, I had a bad falling out with that because it's
it was like that for like a couple of years. Yeah. I was like, man, fuck that.
Yeah. What were we gonna say, Giorgio? God,
did you get to pick what you wear in the game? Your outfit.
I did, yeah. And at the time, I wish I could take it all back. In this new game, like I'm all like blinged out with like rock star and shit. I'm like, man, yeah. I just wish I could have just. I should have just wore what I wanted to wear.
Man, you know what?
I was trying to support the sponsors. We would have got
you 1 year earlier.
I know.
You would be in the new release Tony Hawk with BRCC.
I know, dude. That would have been dope. Maybe that
could
be
downloadable content or something in the future.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe we could ask Tony.
Well, I mean, look, there's going to be more. Obviously,
they do. I know they do updates and stuff to the game, so there's probably a way I could update my
game. Is it Activision again?
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's who does all the... That's who did the originals, and they do Call of Duty Warzone and all that shit.
I think so, yeah.
So they have a store. I mean, there's a built-in store to that. I don't know if they're doing it with the skateboarding thing, but they should.
I think they
do. I mean, Black Rifle would pay money to have that available, and then...
Oh, yeah. That'd be dope as shit.
Then they would get residuals on people that bought it, right? Yeah. It's a good deal for both parties.
For sure, because, you know... Again, it was one of those things that was just so massive. Every single place you went, everybody was playing it, right?
Yep.
Well, no, it lived. It lived longer than I would say. Like if you took Tony Hawk 1 and 2, it had a longer lifespan than any other single sports game there was.
Oh,
like I mean, easily. Yes, granted, the Madden crowd, but they buy a new Madden every year. But to watch how long Tony Hawk 2 stayed relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I've never seen another sports video game do that.
A sports video game? No, because they release a new one every year, yeah.
Yeah, but even with Tony Hawk, so I was shooting a movie with him in Austin, Texas, and my buddies were all, I mean, they used to live and play that game.
Yeah.
And so it was
that and the 1080 snowboarding game. And then GoldenEye, that whole era was dominated by those three games. Yeah.
And so I call my roommates and I go, hey, dude, I got Tony Hawk here. Is there anything you want to ask him? You know, they were huge fans before the video game and everything else. They followed his whole career. The only thing they asked for, they were like, hey, dude, do you have like the cheat code to get the extra characters and shit? Tony grabbed the phone and he goes, oh, yeah, just press, you know, whatever the nine-digit
right
thing
away.
Was. Yeah. Knew right away, and then it unlocked the characters and all that shit. But that's how big it was at the time. They didn't even want to talk to him. They were just like, hey, can you give the code to the fucking game for the new people? Yeah. And I go, when he hung up, I was like, dude, forgive me. No idea. And he goes, no, you don't understand. So, this happens everywhere I go. Everybody wants these goddamn codes.
So have you seen recently what he's been going through with his leg?
Mm.
So I was there when he broke his leg. We were actually trying 540s on the first wall. And I haven't done a 540 in a little while. So I was like trying them right out of a drop in. Tony was done skating. His son showed up. And then he was like, oh, I'll start skating again since his son's here with a couple friends. So he's like, oh, I'll just skate again with you. So he starts trying 540 on the first wall. First one, not even close. And Tony can do 540s in his sleep. I don't even know why he's trying it like first wall because he can do it. Second one, he kind of got all weird and tried to put it down and jumped off. Third one, he went for the third one, shouldn't even have stood up on it. Like got his weight on it just enough to jump. When he jumped off, he just straight to flat bottom, and it looked like just like a, oh, is your knee okay? You know what I mean? Like kind of jammed his knee into the flat bottom, and homeboy broke his femur.
Yep.
So then he goes and gets it like stinted, like, you know, the metal rod in there. And then he starts like skating like a week or two later, like, cause it's embraced, but yet it still has to heal. Mm. So apparently it like healed kind of warped and never really healed. It just kind of like the fracture kind of like sat beside, you know, it kind of sidestepped itself.
Yeah. So they're going to have to re-break the leg.
So then he had to go back in like months later.
Ugh.
And get it re kind of like tapped in and straightened.
They re-break the leg and they reset it. It sucks.
So HBO was filming a documentary during that time.
And, yeah, that's right when the documentary.
I just watched
the doc
it.
Was coming out, like, until the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
And it's about, and the last thing in the video is like Stacy Peralta saying, dude, how long are you going to do this for? Like, you got to stop. You're going to hurt yourself. And then he fucking breaks his leg.
Yep.
And that's when Tony was on the flat bottom and we were all like, you know, holding his leg and making sure he's okay. That's the first thing that came out of his head is, Stacy, everyone's going to, you know, reflect on what Stacy said. And he was just so worried about it that he fucking started skating right away. And that, I think that is what like kind of got him back on his board too fast.
Wow, man. I remember watching Bob Burnquist. Doing the big air, and god damn, I was just like,
dude,
that was
the scariest fucking thing ever. No, hey, Danny Way or Jake Brown, like,
just ragdolls down the thing. And I was like, I remember thinking,
was
I was watching
on,
it with
was
my
that
wife
on the big Red Bull ramp.
No, that was X Games.
It was X Games.
The first one was Danny. I think Danny took a gnarly one, and he's like the inventor of big air.
Yeah,
that was that's like some, it's like a 65 foot ramp or some shit.
And then
isn't
Jake
it?
Brown, and then Jake Brown landed the 7 over the gap, which is like the first time someone did a 7 over the gap in competition. But then like he was a little off, so he was a little off. And then when he went up to the quarter pipe, which is the scariest part,
because it's huge,
it's big. If you pop out too far, you die. If you don't pop out far enough, you die. And he popped out way too far.
And he landed flat. God.
It's
he
not the shoes off. It's fucking 83 feet.
Shoes Holy came off. Shit. Shoes came Dude. Off, all of it. And I'm watching with my wife, and she's like, with Bob too in particular, because Bob just kept going up over and over. And it was just like, dude, you're going to die out here.
Yeah.
My wife's like, is that Bob Burnquist from the, and I was like, yeah, same guy. It's like, why is he out here doing it? Mm-hmm. And I've got the same question for you. Like at 50, you're still great. But like, dude, one of these moves could end up like that night, and then it's lights out Gorilla Radio
for
get
you.
This. So
after Tony broke his leg, I'm skating with Kevin Staub like a couple weeks later or a few weeks later, and Kevin breaks his leg in front of me.
Oh,
so I'm
God
down on
damn.
The flat holding another friend's leg, and these guys are my age.
I know. I know. So you're going to keep going? And do you worry about it?
Yeah. I mean, I almost got taken out karting.
Yeah, that was scary.
But I mean, I could have got decapitated, like karting, like
Jesus Christ.
Fucking driving a go-kart.
What a weird headline.
Yeah, Bucky Lassick dies at
the
karting.
Guy from Tony Hawk's Pro Skateboarder gets decapitated go-karting.
No, the reporter, my favorite Tony Hawk character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys see the video?
R.I.P.
You got to show Ross this.
Do you have it? Is it one that we can show? Oh, shit.
I can upload it to you.
Yeah. Can you airdrop it to Bob? Where are we at here?
Ross's iMac.
Look at that. That's powerful. That's a powerful name. Who named it then?
You.
Oh, I did. Good.
All right.
Good.
Go.
Good for me. You know, real proud of myself.
Can we get an applause,
today.
Please?
Yeah, thank
applause,
you very much.
Applause.
Hit that applause. Thank you.
So that
I've earned it.
Someone doesn't like us, but we have a second board.
Kids, we got some sponsors that put this show on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinking bros. It's Christmas time. Time to get yourself a new mattress for you and your loved one. Or get one for your kid. Two-year-olds love nice mattresses. I know mine does. It just jumps around all over it all day long. They love it. The kids love it. Get them each a mattress, all right? Start when they're newborns, and just get them a ghost bed. See what happens. Now, yes, it's probably too big to put inside of a crib, but let them chew on it. Throw it out in the yard. Let them play in front of the neighbors on it. Do whatever you want. Or you can get one for a loved one that you're married to or perhaps courting at home. And if you're doing that,
I got to recommend that bundle package, dog. That's 40% off the adjustable base and the mattress combined together. Comes with a super sleek remote control, USB ports, flashlights, vibrates from head to toe if you're into that, which you know I am, wink. And let's say your significant other goes to sleep before you or after you, they offer it in a split king. And therefore, there's two remotes with that damn thing, and you can go up or down, go to sleep, or stay up all night with the adjustable base. Now, if you just want the mattress, it's 30% off with the promo code Drinkin' Bros. Plus, right now, you're getting two free luxury pillows with said mattress. That's a Merry Christmas. I highly recommend it. I've had it for years. I've had the adjustable base for about three. Can't live without it. Also love the sheets, dude. Highly underrated, those sheets. Big, big fan. They got a cover if you're doing butt stuff. And then they got a weighted blanket, which I guess you sleep for like, I don't know, baby Jessica like hours. It's like 58 hours or something like that. I don't have it because I drive the kids to school in the morning. I can't sleep that long. But everybody else who does says it's delightful. So perhaps put that in the cart as well. Now, when you check out, you're going to go to the bottom of the screen and see a 60-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest as long as you have decent credit. Check that box, and all the deals that I mentioned are applicable with that. And you can get a brand new bedroom set for about $25 a month. Head on over to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Next up, we got hardafseltzer.com. Speaking of the holidays, everybody's got family coming to town or you're going to their house. You might as well get some booze. God forbid Uncle Timmy's out there talking about how great Biden's doing for the economy. We all know that isn't true. The only thing that's going to shut that guy up is some 8% seltzer straight to your dome. No carbs, no sugars, no gluten if you give a shit about that. We ship to 41 states at hardafseltzer.com. It'll be there in plenty of time for Christmas. Or if you're in the state of Tennessee or Florida, we are live in over 150 stores collectively in those two states. All you have to do is go to hardafseltzer.com, hit the store locator and type in your zip code or city. It doesn't even matter if you're in the car, and Google Maps will take you right to the closest store, and it's cheap as shit on there. Regular prices, same as like a White Claw or something, except we've got double the ABV in ours. We're also in the largest booze distributor throughout the entire South. It is a totally awesome place to buy all your booze, and we're in every single one of their stores, damn it. So go in there, grab a couple cases for the holidays, and light shit up properly at hardafseltzer.com. Let me tell you about moo.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door, and they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code DRINKINGBROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code DRINKINGBROS when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
You got a second board now?
Well, for tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
for
got
the,
it.
For the Christmas show. Right? Yeah.
So let me explain this crash to you. I'm coming up. We're 6 hours into a 12-hour endurance race. So they're slower carts. They're called super sport carts. And then we're in the pro carts. The super sport carts are like the one you see at K1. They got plastic around the wheels. You can slam into everything.
And is this what we're seeing here?
Yeah. So my cart is a pro cart. It's a Rotax. It's a non-shifter, but it's super fast. You build momentum and it goes, it gets it. It's like
a solid axle?
Yeah, solid axle.
Yeah, so you've got the
so here I am in traffic. I have another pro card in front of me, and I'm following him through traffic.
Can you probably put that up on program.
Yeah, let's see that thing.
I'm following this guy through traffic, probably about around six sport carts. So I come up on this guy on the left here, and he comes out on me. See how he comes up to the white line? So then I hit the tires, and then this other guy's 20 feet past the braking zone, and he hits me full speed.
Show that one more time. Holy shit.
So this guy closes the door on me right here. He comes over on me. So I try to slam the brakes on, and I'm just in too deep.
God damn, dude.
And then the other guy smacks me.
So did you break your ribs on that?
I bruised them badly. I don't think I broke them because I can feel them getting better.
Okay.
But.
Why cart at this? Like, why do it now?
This is good training.
It's good training.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Tell the audience why, because.
Karting is the cheapest form of racing that you could do and get the most beneficial skill set out of, because it's grip. You're learning racing lines. You're learning, basically you're learning how to be like the best, like that you can be. Like rally's different. Rally's you got to turn in different. It's different slip angle. It's all that. It's like rally is like kind of like racing go-karts and tarmac racing in the rain, because you kind of have to have the same skill set in the rain as you do for rally driving. You set the car early, you get the car pointed, turn, and you drive through the apex of the turn, kind of inside line. Where tarmac racing, you're kind of turning in nice and smooth, no wheel slip, and you're just momentum driving through the turn, exit, using the whole track. Very different, but great racing. Great form, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because a lot of NASCAR drivers as kids start off doing karting, and I always wondered why. Because
yeah, it's technique. You learn so much.
The most time.
Have you been to the karting at like COTA?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Dude, there's the amount of fucking kids there in like racing shoes and shit like that. Like it is huge.
It's huge.
This is the new like sport for rich kids.
Yeah.
Racist shoes too.
Oh yeah,
from time to time.
Yeah, of course.
So you got to
racing.
No, I know, but also racist shoes. You got to keep an eye out for those.
Yeah, you sure do. Yeah. You sure do. But with that, for you personally, how is it helping you going into the future? What do you see the next, let's say, 5-10 years of your career looking like here?
A lot of rally driving, some skating still. I'm going to skate as hard as I possibly can for as long as I can, because there's no one out there right now at 50 that can compete at X Games against 14-year-olds.
You won 4 golds at 41 in X Games.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive.
That's like some Tom Brady shit.
Yeah.
That should inspire every dad who used to skate and listens to Drinking Bros to go out and skate.
Yeah, I'm back in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm back in it.
And go to snakefarm.com or snakefarmco.com.
Yeah, what is it?
Snakefarmco.com.
Yeah, .com.
Yeah. Yeah. And get some boards.
They've got great boards and apparel.
Look at this
and
color
kind
of this shirt.
Yeah.
I love this.
That's awesome.
Big Kev built that color.
Your brown friend.
I'm sorry, he
your
built that friend. Color?
Yeah, yeah, sure
what
did.
The fuck
yeah.
does that mean?
I like these. You know, he built a color.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a forest green.
Yeah, put those boards
it's
up on.
It's a forest Whitaker
green.
What's
the pop on these like, Jared?
Oh, that's great. Dude, these are PS sticks. This okay. is some of the best boards you can
yeah,
get.
Yeah, it is the best board.
Sweet
yeah.
fucking
loser. Well, I want the one in the middle there with the lady with the... Yeah,
that's Cody. So Cody, one of the best street skaters, you know, in the last 10 years... Is he was so I told him that you wanted to get with him and start yeah. streeting and he yeah. was like no
why don't we have a
dude, his flat why don't his we have flat a ground game is on point
why don't we have a Drinking Bros board on there
we can
yeah that'd be great
yeah.
oh you gotta just we'll sell the shit
just up. Make one
you see can all you see old Big Kev back yeah, there
you yeah. got all our logos Let's
yeah you got
it.
Our logos
Tricky Dick in it
let me ask you this Olympic wise any desire.
God, if they would make it happen soon enough, I don't like what they have going on now. I don't like it. It's too small. You know, it's,
yeah.
it's just parks. It's like mini ramp skating.
Oh yeah. Cause it's just street, right? Street
no, style they have, or something. They have a park. They have park, yeah, but park. It's like pump, 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 one trick, pump, pump, one trick, pump, one trick. And you do that for a day and I can't walk the next day.
Okay.
You know
so
what
much
I mean?
Pounding yeah. on your knees kind of thing.
Or? Well, it's just a lot of like generating speed.
Right.
So you land a trick, you generate speed, you generate speed, land a trick, generate speed. And to do that over and over and learn like the different angles of the balls and the different obstacles, like for me running out of shit, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah. That, and no. that's kind no, of yeah. That whole regenerating momentum in the park course is kind of the skill part of it, right? Like anybody can do isolated trick. Not anybody, but good
no,
skaters can do isolated tricks.
I think it's the opposite. I think the only thing that younger guys are benefiting in the park series because they have the energy to basically pound themselves for days at a time, pumping, pumping, pumping.
And learning
pumping,
the course.
And learning the yeah. course.
But they're like, all super young, dude.
They are super young.
Oh, yeah. Who was on your vert roster? Like, didn't the person that won was 14? On X Games this year, or
no? I think 16? Jimmy won. Jimmy won. Jimmy's like 23 oh, okay. or something, 24.
Okay. Do you watch it? Did you watch the Olympics? Because I watched Nigel yeah. Houston, and yeah. it's and he didn't do well. And no. I thought if he would have won, he could have catapulted himself.
He doesn't need the win. He's
no. He's
have you
huge.
Seen his last
I,
video?
I,
part?
I understand that, but the. There's something about an Olympic gold medal because I heard Sean White talk about this in a documentary.
Well, you get
where
a lot
like,
more deals, books, and
yeah,
right.
and speaking.
But
and,
all of that pushes yeah. the sports further and further and further. Did you think that would have been important at the end of the day, just for skating around the world in America and all that stuff?
Well, for who? Whoever wins?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah it helps because you become that household name, which is, you know, your goal is to become, you know, be on the Wheaties box in a sense, you know what I mean?
Like, sure.
That's not a thing anymore, but.
It should be. It's not. All that stuff is kind of going away with right. the Wheaties box.
That's because kids don't eat Wheaties anymore because parents just hand them an iPad and a sugary
yeah,
drink.
Yeah. Yeah. That kids are watching, you know, a YouTube vlog.
Let's not pretend Wheaties cereal was good for you.
No, it come wasn't. On. It wasn't good for Bruce Jenner. He lost his dick eating it. So sorry, was it too soon?
Well, I don't know.
Too soon. It was in 76.
There's a
good.
There's a correlation, but I'm not sure.
I think
sure
that
can...
came down to his wife.
Maybe. But speaking of Sean White, when he got involved in his skateboarding and X Games, started winning gold medals and all that stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people said he didn't deserve it. What are your thoughts on Sean White in regards to skateboarding?
I like Sean. I don't like the people he would surround himself with that would pump his head up. You know, I like Sean as a person, but I feel like the whole like agent thing and like certain, you know, people he surrounded himself with,
yeah,
kind of ruined it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
kind of.
Well, you look at you know the culture of skateboarding in like mid 2005, 6, 7, 8 ish, where Scheckler started bringing Target to as a sponsor to what Street League, and the skaters rejected it and talked shit and started this wave of hate because you're mainstreaming this, and they didn't understand that like no, when a brand like Target comes in to back Street League, this is going to keep you alive for the next 10 years.
And they put skateboarding everywhere.
Yeah, but that's it. Scheckler quit because he got so, you know, because they gave him so much shit.
Yeah.
Like, and they talked so much shit that he was like, all right, fuck you guys, I'm out. And it died. Like, and that set skateboarding as a whole back what, like 5-10 years?
But here's another thing. Was it Scheckler or was it like his agent? Because I know agents that once the deal's done, they ghost the sponsors. And so therefore you miss that middleman, is no longer there. So like what I've learned from this is the agent, if you have an agent, let them make the deal. But lose them once you start communicating. Yeah. Because you need the communication with your sponsors, you know, because that's what's going to create longevity, not only for you, but for
skaters and the fans rejected it. And that pushed the sponsors out because their attitude was this: skating isn't mainstream.
Yeah,
we don't want fucking.
I do get it, but I do believe that it's who they're sponsoring as well. It's like if you're surrounding yourself around yes men and people who are kind of out of touch with the actual sport, and you're just taking from the sport, that's different. You know, and I think, you know, what Sean came in from snowboarding.
Yeah,
he came in almost in a fashion into skateboarding where it was like he was an outsider. He was seen as an outsider. He was training to be good. He wasn't like part of the community, you know? And I think that's where that kind of hurt him.
Yeah. Because the other part too is, I had heard, and maybe you can confirm this, that, he had built his own ramps, not only for skating and wouldn't let anybody else there. Is that true?
Weird. It was definitely weird. Like, you know what I mean? Like he was in it. He was passionate about it. But he wasn't like humble and like welcoming about it. Like,
yeah,
he was just out the wind.
In contrast, think about how many people have met Travis Pastrana for the first time at his property.
Oh yeah, yeah,
right.
Skating or jumping or biking on his shit.
Yep,
you know total opposite.
Yeah,
total opposite. We've had so many guests on this show, and it's the same story every single time with Travis. He'll just call and be like, hey, man, I saw that thing. You want to come out and train? And it's like, you can have endless access to the pits, all the shit, and work on it, and we're here.
That's about bringing people up.
Yep.
And that's
yeah, but also, and look at the difference. The right, he's a 30-year household name to this day. And everybody that has a story about him has a good story about him.
Yeah.
And he's still thriving to this day. Still getting deals put on the table to this day. It's like, These guys need to take note.
Yeah.
You being too cool for everybody.
Yeah.
You put a fucking lifespan on you.
Well, it felt like in this last Olympics, because I watched it with Sean White in particular, it felt like he had softened up. Maybe he had realized, you know, some mistakes, started doing a little bit more interviews, letting people in a little more. I don't know if that affected his performance at all because he didn't win, obviously, or if it was just his age.
I mean, he comes from snow, right?
It was for snowboarding.
But I'm just saying, like, for all this stuff you're talking about, he comes from that, and that's not the same group mentality that skating is.
No.
It's a whole different situation.
With Sean, I think Sean just, you know, with being in the spotlight, you know, he's in a, you know, he's doing his band, he's doing promotional events. So he's just growing, you know what I mean, within himself.
Yeah.
So I think that took away from his riding time, where there's guys out there like in skating and snowboarding and racing that are full blown. That's all they do every day. Jimmy Wilkins, for instance, when I skate with Jimmy Wilkins, it's almost depressing for me. As much as I love to see him rip and skate, I feel like I should be there every day doing, you know, when he's skating, he's doing alley-oop tail grabs into alley-oop, you know, alley fives into this. And I'm like, that's a contest run. Like, I don't enjoy skating with you anymore.
Yeah.
He's just so good. Yeah. It just kind of, so I like, I'll go and skate with all the old guys and just like put around and like, you know, then I'll go skate with Jimmy when I'm like, when I'm in contest.
Motivated.
You know what
motivated.
I mean? But like when he's every day, dude. Have you seen his last video Instagram?
No, I haven't.
Look at Jimmy Wilkins, at Jimmy Wilkins. And go look at his Instagram. He doesn't post a lot, so it's not... Follow him, because he's awesome. He doesn't post a lot, but his skating is insane. Like, he would have a video game right now.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, the odd thing I find is when it's on, because Dan and I, we were doing a event in... Shit, I think it was Nashville. And we had drinks the night before. The bar was playing the X Games. But everybody there, it was probably about 100, 120 people there. Everybody was rooting for you guys, not the young kids. Like, it still doesn't feel like they've made a big enough name for themselves to surpass you guys. Like, we were all amped for you guys to get up there. Like, the young kids still haven't made the same dent that you guys have.
And they just don't have the younger audience as much either. Like, Whereas, it's, like, yeah, we're watching it still.
Yes.
I don't care about the kids. To see myself as a people's champ still.
Yeah. You are.
Underdog, too. Like, people are like, oh, Bucky, he's got this one. Like, dude, I'm not 26 anymore. You know what I mean? I'm not skating every day. I'm, like, in cars. I'm doing events and doing stuff as well. But I can still do it. Like, I can still put it down. I can still, you know, 15 tricks. I got 15 tricks. Like, I can put 15 tricks together. A little bit of a COVID weight belly gone right now, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the end of the year, so who gives a shit? There's nothing coming
up. Well, we're going on 7 years that all of us have known you. You know, you came out to
Denver.
The Freedom Fest.
Yeah, dude.
As our special guest in 2016.
Wasted.
Yeah.
I know. God, we tore it down that night.
Oh,
got aggressive that night.
That was
a fucking blast.
Yeah.
But everywhere you go, you're still a household name. Everybody knows you, loves you, whatever. I remember posting when the three of us were raging that night. We put a picture up on Instagram.
Yeah.
Every single person from college, high school, everybody else hit me up, and they were like, "God damn, dude!"
It's funny. It's
still
funny.
My favorite.
Because I'm still my favorite. It's fun. The funny thing for me is, I'm still active on social, YouTube channel, all that. And then some people still are like, "Oh my god, I haven't heard or seen that name in ages." It's like, I'm here.
You're here, but when they look at you, like, you still look the same, and everything's the same, and it's like, all right, rad.
Yeah.
But I think the ratings for, like, the X Games and all that shit were much bigger back in the day.
Yeah.
I know ESPN just sold the rights. What was it, 3-4 months ago to somebody else?
Yeah.
How do you feel about
it? Going to?
Yeah. How do you feel about it?
You know, the whole X Games thing. Like, the last one was at Elliott's, which I thought was a total, like, I barely skate Elliott's ramp because it's kind of big. It's kind of like, you know, it has like all these sections and angles and corners. You have to skate it a lot to be good. And I was like, well, damn, I'm kind of the wild card here coming in. Like, I haven't skated this place. Like, there's guys that skate it all the time.
It's a different size, different radius.
Like, this is going to, like, I seriously struggled up until the point where I didn't. And I was grateful it was my run.
Yeah.
So I struggled big time. But to go back to what you're saying, X Games, I feel like started. They were doing these events where people were like tickets waiting in line, like coming and just watching. It was made for a viewer. It was made for a live audience.
Yep.
And they screwed it up and they started doing it in different venues to where they couldn't fit the audience, made for TV type of thing. And now it's like even like backyard event, like you would think like, oh, this is going to be sick. No one can go.
Yeah.
And then like you got to subscribe to watch it. Like, what is that bullshit?
Yeah,
yeah. So it's like you've completely
I didn't even watch it.
Bastardized the audience now to not be able to see it.
So where does it go? Because Jared has talked to us numerous times in the past about making new skate videos. Mm-hmm. Is that the new world of just taking it back old school and dropping videos where it's just dope ass shit? Cool punk music we've never heard before.
Driving parts. We're going to have driving parts.
Is that it? Because I feel like there is no cool place for kids to go anymore, videos to watch that used to blow our minds back in the day.
I think it is. Snake Farm have a YouTube channel?
No, not yet.
So that's probably going to happen.
We're
because
doing
I feel like
the,
they
doing
need
the video.
The daily dose to learn like these personalities. And then it's like from there, like we're going to go on tour.
Snakes.
Yeah.
But that was the other part about it was you guys. Yeah.
No self-snakes.
Yeah.
Semi-snakes.
Semi-snakes. But that was the other part was all you guys had personalities to match your skating skills. Dan and I talk about this all the time with athletes. Like the young kids don't really have it. I'm not going to say who we interviewed or whatever, but some of these younger guys who have been on the show.
Yeah.
They're super nice.
No personality.
No personality.
They haven't been on the Hawk skate park tour either. You know,
Remember
that? That's classic shit too. Watch that one. That's some entertaining stuff. Ellis, me, you know, Jesse Fritch, Tony, Rooftop, Matt Hoffman.
Yeah.
Like that's you want to go deep, go watch that one if you get bored.
Oh yeah, for sure. Fucking Matt Hoffman and those guys. Jesus Christ.
Dude, Rooftop?
Yeah.
It's fun as shit.
Yeah, yeah. It was a blast.
That's a blast. Personality, right?
Yeah. So what do you recommend then for the young kids? Is there any conversations where one of these kids, these 14, 15 year olds comes up to you and they'll be like, hey dude, you're a fucking legend, one of the greatest of all time. What do I need to do to become you guys and what you accomplished?
You know what? It's out there already. it's just it's so clusterfucked. The whole social media is so clusterfucked. It's hard to shine. But like Jared was saying, like these YouTube people are like they're more famous, almost more famous than Tony Hawk is at this point. And all they're doing is
eating trash.
Yeah, eating garbage.
Like I don't know what the world is coming to. I don't know how. Like I'm just glad to still be surviving in it these days and being where I'm at and still. Kind of,
I think it'll correct itself. I think if we keep making, you keep doing really good things on a skateboard and behind the wheel of a car, and we keep making that stuff. I think in the next few years, like everyone's gonna wake up and go, yeah, we're over all this other stupid horse shit. Let's go back to the talent,
dude. TikTok's crazy, dude. I can't even go on it. I can't even go on it. It's just so like. People are spending hours doing like little skits and it's like, it's as far as like talent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty damn talented. Like I'm not going to deny that, but it's just like, oh, it's like, now I'm stuck watching talent while I should be doing stuff because I'm talented.
Yeah,
that's
how I
feel everyone should be.
Yeah.
This is how every industry turns at some point or another. It becomes a prop. For all the other stuff that's going on around it. You know what I mean? That's how it is.
And if you jump on the bandwagon, like who's going to jump on the bandwagon and start promoting and, you know, you have these TikTok appearance people, these personalities, and it's like, okay, like weird.
Yeah, but I feel like if there is a massive trick that shocks the internet and everything else, Jared brought J.O., here who just did that triple backflip and you know that was I didn't know him in person. I didn't even know him by name, by the way, when he came in, but I knew the trick itself and I was like, oh shit, dude, I watched that fucking 50 times. And then I asked him about the explanation for it. Is there a trick out there where if somebody lands this to go mega viral where it's like 20-30 million views that would kind of change it again?
It's weird, like you have Mitchy Brusco that did the 1080 or 12, whatever the hell he did. Like, I don't even know. He did like, what's the next one? 12?
12 something.
1220?
Yeah, 1260?
Whatever. He did it. He's not Tony Hawk. And then I look at, I look on Instagram and I look at Jimmy Wilkins' post the other day and he does a backside nose blunt slide over Tony Hawk's ramps, channel, gap, bridge.
Is that it right there?
And pull up his Instagram.
Last trick.
Okay, backside, pull that up. Let's see it.
Backside nose blunt slide over that channel is fucking insane. It should be on the barracks as one trick, and he just throws it in his daily clip.
How old is this kid?
I think he's like 24.
Okay. Shit, dude.
Wait. So what you're saying is nobody gives a shit.
He's getting speed.
Alley-oop tail grab, does it every day.
This looks effortless out of this
backside
guy.
Backside over crook. Here it comes. Lean rodeo like no one else. Here it comes. Ollie 5, frontside kickflip, board slide. No one can do that. Here it is. After this pop switch, pop, shove it, fakie. Here it is, right? Coming up. Right here, this. Oh, my God. Looks so easy and casual. No one else can do that.
I think people want to see the flips and all that shit, because if there is an element to die, like Travis or like Tony, if there is an element, like that night watching Tony do that, I thought he was going to die. I was like, at one point, it looks like he was so exhausted that there is an element to die. Travis, when he did the double, element to die. J.O., when he did the triple, there's an element to die. When you do something like that, I think you look at that just as a casual fan, right?
Or maybe it's
and you're like I feel like you could go out and do that tomorrow. Could you not do that trick?
It would take me a long time. I've actually tried that trick. And
so that's the thing. You got to see people fail at something to understand how good it was, because he makes it look so easy.
Yes.
And everybody's different. Like, you could do tricks that I probably can't do. You can do something that I can't. You know what I mean? Everyone's different in their styles.
I'm mostly only good at reading and murdering.
Yeah.
See?
I
suck at reading. I fall asleep and I can't murder anyone.
You've never murdered?
You can murder.
Is there anybody you wanted to murder?
I shot a squirrel before.
Where's that squirrel at?
Dead.
Yeah. R.I.P. You're a killer. You're a trained fucking killer.
We need to do a murder experience.
Yeah.
We just take somebody down to fucking cartel land.
Let's go downtown, find a homeless guy.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we'll bring him back here, and then we'll let you kill him, and then we can talk about it later. Like, that'd be a blast.
Is this a slow kill or a quick kill?
It's
what do you want? Like, what's like on your vision board of how to kill somebody?
I would much rather like pull someone out of jail that did like a...
Yeah, see, that's better. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's break someone
like
out of
someone
jail.
Who like did something to a kid. Like,
yeah. Like a pedophile. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you don't have definitely to break anybody guilty out of jail. You can go to the National Sex Offender Registry and look up their address and their photo right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we could do that.
Yeah.
We can pull somebody
out. I learned
out
how to clear a room. I can clear the house and then find them.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How do you want to do it, though? By hand or by gun?
Well, my wrists are kind of weak, so I'm definitely going to go with the gun.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case.
I might have a failure. Like, I got lockup. Pull my finger. I won't do anything
else.
Whoa. Feel that? No, you just unloose.
I just pull it?
No, don't. The middle finger.
No, what, dude? I don't understand why.
Look.
Why is this weird for you?
Your hands are so soft.
I know, it's supple like a woman's.
No, but watch. All right. So my middle finger.
Yeah.
Unlock it.
Oh, God.
You don't have to pull that hard. Just
Jesus Christ, though.
Yeah, you feel that?
Yeah, what is that?
That's skateboarding.
What about a chainsaw?
That's gruesome. Like, I'm big into Criminal Minds.
It's a lot of showering.
But, like... You know? The whole like Dahmer thing, like cutting people up, like that's just weird, like eating and all that.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but if you can fuck them like Dahmer, then it's like, all right, you're getting something out of it, you know?
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, he did.
He did?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he had sex with some of the bodies, you know, once they were dead.
Just the dudes, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just the torsos.
Mm. Just the torsos?
Look, this has been my policy forever. You inspect the body for an appropriate hole, and if there isn't one, you make one.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, look, you can cut anything open. If you can put your penis in, you're good to go. You're good to go.
One of those apple core things. Just
yeah, good to go.
And all of a sudden,
you're fine. Your penis is in there, and then you're able to get off. When you were on the come up, was there athletes in other sports that you looked up to?
Yes. Todd Richards, snowboarder.
OJ Simpson.
Yep, obviously.
Yeah.
Ray Carruth. But who were the guys, and did you ever get a chance to speak to them? Because I'm always curious as to what those conversations are like. Somebody you look up to in another sport, and you're like, all right, I'm the best at what I do. You're the best at what you do. Tell me why.
Well, I mean, as I became like more like, I guess, famous,
prevalent.
I started running into like these famous people that would be like, you know, like Samuel Jackson. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, actor, like. Amazing actor, like met him at a ESPN party, you know. Danny DeVito, X Games, like cool people running into people. Like my 30th birthday, I got sang happy birthday to from Pamela Anderson.
Oh shit, dude.
And we're doing champagne toast and everything with David Spade. And
did she do it like she was singing to JFK?
Happy birthday.
It was something like that, at least how I remember it.
Sure. Was she with Tommy Lee at that point?
I can't remember. Smoking blunts with DMX, my 30th birthday.
Damn. Oh shit, dude. All right,
that's a life, you know.
R.I.P., dude. That's how was DMX? That guy fucking parties.
Super sick, dude. Like, skated. Like, I got him skating and did some airs over him and, like, hung out and smoked blunts with him. Like, just me and him chilling.
No shit.
That's so cool.
My wife was there as well.
Are you married right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see a ring there.
It's tattooed.
Oh, shit.
It's all faded.
It's faded never comes now, off. Dude. Yeah, you gotta.
Skating, man.
You gotta
skating.
Do it. How long you been married?
Oh, God, I hate you. 26.
She's not watching this. 26 you don't have
years?
To worry.
Yeah, 26 years.
That's right. I promise you, your wife is not watching this.
Kids? You got kids, Bucky?
Yes, three.
Three, nice. Do they all skate?
None.
Out of choice? Was
my
that dad's
skate,
choice?
No, none.
They're in the cars. Like, they got cool cars, but not in skating.
Are you disappointed?
I have a 15-year-old. My 15-year-old's about to get something. I'm not sure what she's going to get into, but they're all horseback riders and like stuff like that. So they can cart. They were really good at karting, every one of them. Just trying to get them out to the ranch to do some rally driving. Paris is into it. Tenzin's like 15-year-old. You know what I mean? I'm like, you should want to do it. Like, she had a really bad kart crash as well.
Oh, shit.
And she hasn't been back.
Have they ever sat down with you and watched some of the videos and all that stuff and been like, are they aware that dad is a fucking legend?
It's fucking dad. Like, they don't see any of that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they're just like, they team up on me, they roll their eyes on at me. It's like that kind of thing. Yeah, it's typical.
The rooms aren't clean.
Exactly. Yeah. They will when they're older, though.
What about putting the horses on skateboards?
Yeah, let's do that.
If we got the horses skating.
Would it be four individual skateboards? I mean, or just one big one?
You know what I mean? You got me.
If you duct taped four skateboards to horses' legs and then shoved them down a ramp.
Done.
I mean, they've got extremely
Bob Berkowitz's mega ramp. I would pay to see this.
Oh, damn, dude. That would be so
like
dope.
That seems like a nitro. It does, actually. Yeah, that's a nitro. Yeah.
Watch this horse big air.
Somewhere Travis just fucking heard us great. Talking about this, and he's looking into buying horses.
Yeah. Would you ever consider doing one of those New Year's events for ESPN? Because I used to love those. They stopped doing them, but I thought they were rad.
New Year's?
Yeah.
Like an MTV thing?
So ESPN was doing it on New Year's where they were having...
stunts?
Yeah, out of like right in front of Caesars and things like that.
That's what Travis did.
Robbie Madison. Yeah. Travis jumped the car.
Robbie, that was the one where he fucking ripped his hand open and it was badass. I would love to see that come back. And I think whoever... was Jay, I believe, was on the show last time.
Yeah.
I brought that up to him, and he was like, dude, this would be fucking dope.
Yeah.
I would love to see just the Avengers of skateboarding and motocross join up to do something crazy like that.
Yeah, we don't really need ESPN for that. We should do it ourselves.
Well, sort of, right? Because they can pay for that type of production, because you got to shut down Vegas Boulevard and all that other stuff. You want to make it a show, an old school show. Travis did it for the History Channel when we were out there covering that.
Yeah.
Would something like that interest you in the future?
I guess it would come down to the idea. Like, I liked when Travis jumped the car over the gap with the motorcycle on top. But like, I'm like, okay, well,
Andy Bell.
Why didn't the motorcycle backflip off the roof?
Pin it,
do the Travis Pastrana backflip, pin
it.
Dave Mira, how Dave Mira would like backflip in off the deck. Like that would be rad. Like jump the car and then all of a sudden, as you're going over the gap, just pin it and do a backflip. And then.
Oh, God. That would be a disaster.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. Since you brought up Dave Mira, were you guys tight in real life?
We were tight. We kind of had a falling out like towards the end when I guess Subaru kind of like was like, well, we're keeping the driver who finishes highest in points. And I had a lot of DNFs too because my car breaks or the car broke. And I ended up beating him in points and I ended up like getting the seat for the next year or whatever.
Right.
And so we kind of had a falling out at that point. He was kind of like over it. He wanted to be anyway. We would be at the race, and he would be like punching a bag and like doing laps in his cycle, like boxing training. I'm like, dude, you should be like in the car.
Yeah.
And he was all over the place. Very talented, gifted person that could pretty much be good at anything he put his mind to.
Did you get a chance to chat with him before he passed?
No. Okay. Like I said, we weren't on the best terms just because of that situation. So we didn't have time to kind of like get past that. You know what I mean?
He wasn't in the frame of mind for it either.
No, he was very
CTE,
like
CTE, man.
Yeah. And that's where I was going with this. Like, because of what happened and how shocking it was. I mean, I'm sure you've had 800 concussions out there. Yeah. Do you worry about CTE at all?
No, I don't. I try to not hit my head so much,
Yeah,
like take an elbow.
We all do, but then seeing you get smashed up in the go kart there, it's kind of inevitable for what you're doing.
I had a helmet on. I was fine.
You just got to avoid second impact syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay. What's that?
It's getting concussions in rapid succession. That's what really fucked you up.
Oh, like Tua.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's. No matter how he looks right now, 10 or 15 years down the line, his brain is fucked.
Yes.
From that.
The quarterback for the Dolphins, he gets two knockouts within 4 days in the NFL this year, and there was a lot of talk of...
So he's going to feel that one.
Well, some say he is right now, so who knows?
Already.
Yeah.
Well, no, he definitely is feeling it to some degree. It fucks up your vision. It fucks up your the amount of time. So usually... It takes a human being about 0.4 seconds, 0.1 seconds for information to come in, 0.3 for information to go from gray matter to white matter, where you can actually process, analyze, and make decisions.
Yeah.
And for him, it's longer now, you can tell.
Right.
Yeah.
And down the road, it gets even worse as your brain.
So you don't want him on
swell.
Your team anymore.
Well,
I don't give a fuck about the Dolphins.
Yeah. If he was on mine, yes, if you're asking mine, no.
Craig Dulesky is the only Dolphins fan I know.
I don't want to risk it. Yeah.
He's the only Dolphins fan I even know. So
yeah, exactly.
He's the only one in the country.
Yeah. Now's the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who'd you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
I'm going to give a shout out to Derek Krasauskas. It's a local boy that I grew up skating with, and he is, I don't know how many years sober he is now, but I know it's probably not the best thing to talk about, but some guys got to get sober, and he was one of them.
We don't mind it. Yeah, shit. I mean, even though we rage,
yeah.
There is friends of ours.
Sober bros.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. There's friends of ours who were like, hey, man,
yeah,
probably isn't for you.
He was in a bad spot, could have died, like definitely had a problem, went from beer to vodka, and couldn't even go to work without having a bottle stopping on the way, you
sure.
know, and it was bad. So family, friends, we all, you know, we kind of addressed it, and he honestly got sober, and he's ripping still. He's older than I am.
No shit. That's yeah. awesome. That's fucking awesome.
So
that's awesome.
Shout out to Derek, DK.
And what are you guys doing with Snake Farm?
We're freaking rolling in hot to the new year, you know, launched in December, and things are going good. We've got a badass team, and then come this spring we start developing. We're going back to old school video style,
which is great. Are you going to put the effects on it?
Oh yeah, no. Okay. No soft snakes.
So what I would recommend there's a HBO show called Winning Time. Winning Time crushed this year. They're doing a second season of it. They use this these filters to make it look like it was from the 1980s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it enhanced the show. Me personally, just out of nostalgia, I would love to see you guys apply
that.
Do all the same shits. Like,
well, the other part is like all the compilation skateboard videos back in the day were they, first of all, the entire soundtrack was punk music.
Yes.
Yep.
Right. But also they would weave in the actual music videos from those punk bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's well, just to promote.
Well, I mean,
music.
we're doing an old school tour too. Yeah. We're gonna go from San Diego to Portland.
Fuck
in vans.
Yeah.
And with guys like JT who are like phenomenal actors, you know, we're going to think gleaming the cube, think like grind, take all that into consideration. All right.
Super duper.
Yeah. Why not, dude?
Or that episode in Hot Rod where he goes down the hill, runs into that van, and then Danny McBride beats the Christ out of that guy with a traffic cone.
Yeah. That needs
we
to
should
happen.
Bring Mike
I go
Valerie.
To church every goddamn like, Sunday.
Let's just write him a letter and be like, Mike, we want you to come along
we're
as our
have
security.
Cameos all day.
Yeah.
Comes in and beats somebody's ass.
When are you guys filming?
Probably in April.
Okay. Cool.
Wait, aren't you friends with Joey Kern?
Yes. He's one of my really close friends.
He's
from Grind. You want him to come back for Grind? Yeah.
I want him to be the team manager. Big Lou?
Yeah. Yeah, Big Lou. I'll give you a cell.
Sweet Lou? Is it Sweet Lou or
Sweet
Smooth
Lou.
Lou?
Sweet Lou.
Sweet Lou.
Sweet Lou?
Yeah. I'll give you a cell.
Hey, baby.
Yeah.
Hey.
Sweet Lou Singer. You want to make out?
Yeah. You want to make out? Yeah.
You want to make out?
Bucky, thanks for being here, man.
Pleasure.
Just for the audience, there's people that you look up to as a kid and everything else, and you wonder what they are in real life. Like, dude, when we got to Rage for the first time a few years back, I was like, you know, you post the pictures and everything. What's he like? What's he like? I was like, he's fucking identical. He's the dude.
As fuck.
He's the fucking dude, and it's cool.
Yeah.
We have so many celebrities on this show, and I'm like, some of these people we know, we don't know, whatever. And I was like, Bucky's legit, dude. Like, everything you hope, you are.
I appreciate that.
And seeing somebody like you succeed for this long in life is great because you truly deserve it. And we appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. For D'Anthony Holloway, Jared Cat Puke Taylor, Bucky Lassick, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros, France Press Edition. Good night, everyone.